This is Tony from the A Minute to Midnight show. Today we begin a short series of interviews with Joni Stahl. Joni has an amazing prophetic insight into the end times, into what's happening in the world, how it's going to affect the church and Christians, how we can prepare, and what God is saying to us in this day and age. She also has some pretty amazing inside information that she shares in this first interview. You don't want to miss it. Believe me, it's amazing. Okay, so we welcome Joni Stahl to A Minute to Midnight. And so, Joni, could you firstly give the listeners a bit of a background as to who you are and where people can find your blog or any other information?
Yeah, well, I live in Southern California, sunny California. I'm a mom, a wife, got a couple of grown kids. I've been a Christian for 40 years and pretty much began my life right away. And I hate to say I, because we all know that anything that we begin as a Christian, we know it's from Him. So my life basically took off in prayer. I just started praying all the time. It was very natural for me. I was born in a Jewish home. I received Christ when I was 13 years old, and praying was always very natural for me. And probably about a couple of years after I got saved at 13, I started receiving powerful visions. And no one explained anything to me what they were. And they were not just dreams. These were things that would be shown to me, and I would see them within a day or two. And they weren't just things like maybe what would happen in my neighborhood or in my town. These were things that were happening in the Middle East. And just as I would see it within a day, or maybe the next hour, I'd wake up and put world news on, and I would see it just as it was happening. So these things were very terrifying for me. And I didn't know who to go to. People would just say, oh, it's just a dream. So I kept it to myself. And the more I started to pray against it, because I literally was praying against it, I was really begging the Lord. I was like, Lord, I can't handle it. I don't know what this is. I was terrified. I was a young kid. And the more I prayed against it, the more intensified He made those visions and those dreams. Until finally, after a few years of that, I just came to the end of that, and I was like, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to bow my knee. I don't understand it, but if this is something you're doing in my life and you want to do, I'm not going to stand against it. So you can have your way. And for about 2 years after that, it all went away. And then about a couple of years later, they started back up again. And that's when He really took me into that realm of intercession. And it was really a place that you could never expect to go to. I mean, didn't even know it existed. I just know that I had a heart to pray. I know that He was showing me things. And it was, and I really want to specify this because, you know, in one regard, yes, I frequently see things that happen around the world, stuff that has happened, stuff that is actively coming to pass, and things that are pending. But not only that, because of how the Lord taught me how to pray, there was a 6-year period of my life where He started out teaching me how to pray. And it was a significant time in my life. So I was a young person still, probably my late 20s. I was praying one day like I normally was. And that prayer just stopped in my mouth. And I knew that the Lord was going to say something to me, which He did. And He said, from now on, I want you to ask me to teach you how to pray. And so for a couple of weeks, I laid everything aside. I trusted whatever I normally prayed about with the Lord in His hands. And then 2 weeks later, put the kids on the school bus, husband went off to work, and I walked into my bedroom to make the bed and start cleaning house, and this power came down upon me, and it was unspeakable. Like I can't even describe it, but I went down on my face. And I stayed there till about 2 o'clock. And from that day, the Lord changed my life. For the first 3.5 years, He just really intensified with the reading of the word. He started to become very active and showing me how to pray. And I didn't really understand. I thought he was going to teach me how to pray. I thought, oh, he's going to, you know, probably show me how to say certain words, how to pray in this mood or the mood of the Holy Spirit. But instead, he was literally showing me how to pray. He meant that literally when he said, I'm going to teach me to show you how to pray. So he started to take me through different disciplines in prayer. He first started to teach me like the discipline of faith, the discipline of, you know, remaining in his presence. All these things are training. And when he got through with certain things, he would move me on to a next. And at about the midway mark, the Lord brought me into warfare. And that's when the dreams even became more explicit, because he started to show me things that were happening in other nations. That part started again. He started to show me things like territorial spirits that were controlling certain regions of different nations. That was kind of a new fear for me because, I had those dreams before, but I think that was just like to just give me a taste and a sample of it. But he had to show me how to pray. And there was a lot of attacks. I mean, I'm not saying it was like an easy thing and I just waltzed into it. There was some legitimate fear in that, but when the Holy Spirit was working, he takes care of all of that. And so through the years, through the 40 years of my walk with Christ, for the better part of it, I've been receiving all of these visions, and he does it on purpose. He likes to get you when you're young because he wants to get you used to it, because he has to train you up into it. And he also has to teach you how to walk alone in it. So it was not an easy Christian walk for me. It's not an average Christian walk. I've spent my entire life behind the scenes. I never look for that notoriety. In fact, I kind of pretty much run from it. But, you know, I do want to say to you, Tony, that it's interesting that I'm even talking to you now, because this is something I could never, I mean, I would never have even imagined it. But, you know, I started collecting things that the Lord was sharing with me and showing me what is coming upon the United States, what he's serious about, and he's very direct. So I'm an open book. Whatever you want to ask me from this point on, just sky's the limit.
That you started so young, you know, is pretty amazing. But wow, what a legacy, 40 years of hearing from God and being close to him in prayer. And that's really amazing. It's no wonder God's talking to you. Okay, so I'm sort of looking back. Oh, firstly, Z3 News is where you post most of your stuff. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I've been posting a lot of stuff, and that's been pretty recent for me because, like I said, I've kept everything just to myself. Like, I've just been alone in prayer all these years. And one day, a friend of mine said, you know, you got to check out something on Z3. And I got to tell you, I make it a practice, Tony. I make it a practice to not really read anybody's prophecies. And the reasons why I don't is because I don't want it to interfere with anything I'm receiving from the Lord. I have to keep my mind pure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I went on it, read something, shut my computer. As I went upstairs, I heard the Lord say, I want you to go down and I want you to reply with a dream. And I was like, no, I really don't want to do that. But it intensified. So I said, okay, you know, it's not going to hurt. I'm going to do it. So I obeyed, replied, typed the stream in I had, and I went on my way. So the next day, James Bailey gave me an email and he invited me to be a contributor on there, which was surprising. And so basically everything that I've been writing on there are things that the Lord has shown me, and I've collected it by writing it. So
yeah, that's really good because, you know, it's stuff that I think, well, many people need to hear. God doesn't give us words and the sort of dreams you're having for us to keep it under a bushel, does he? He wants it to be out there for all of our information. So z3news.com is where we find your information, and I was on there reading recently your blogs, different entries that you've made. And so I'd like to go through maybe asking you some questions regarding some of these blogs entries that you've put in there, and see where we go from there. So I saw a post you did on January the 4th about the armies of heaven and hell moving simultaneously over the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So I was interested in how it expressed the fact that there will be food shortages and a falling monetary system, and it will divide people, and yet God will provide for his people. Can you give us a bit of a background or explain this series of early morning visions that you had?
Yeah, you know, in fact, that morning, you know, a lot of the visions I receive right before I wake up in the morning, and I think the practice of the Lord to do that is so you don't really forget anything. And I would like to say it's very difficult, almost impossible to forget anything if you get a vision from the Lord. You can remember it from 10 years ago, and it's like you just dreamed it the night before. But definitely, the Lord showed me in that vision, in all of my visions, Tony, I don't understand it, but I'm just going to tell you how I see it. There's always this man that's with me. He's not the central focus of the dream, but he's there. Like, I don't really look at him like I see him there, but he's not the focus. And he takes me and he shows me things. Sometimes he doesn't talk because he doesn't need to. Sometimes he does. And in this vision, I saw myself walking, and it was night, and he was with me. And everywhere, and he took me down into a part where, and we live in a beautiful area. And he took me down, and it was near the harbor, but it turned into this bleak, horrid squalor. And it was more than just a tent city. It was mass homelessness. And it was filled up with people where it took over the entire part of that harbor and that town. And he began to show me that this was coming soon. Like, don't think that the area that you're living in, if you're living in a nice area, don't think twice, because the areas that you're going to live in are going to start filling up with homeless people. And I'll get into that. But as I began, as I was in that vision, I could see in the spirit that there are two wars. You know, like we know about that war in heaven, you know, that it talks about in Revelation chapter 12.
Yep.
I believe that's a future thing that happens. But he was showing me, because what's happening in the spiritual realm is it's preparing for the natural. That has to happen first. And this is going to be the epic final battle. We know that there are two kingdoms that are clashing. Well, there's a war on, okay? And the enemy knows his time is short, all right? All the creatures that are unseen, they all know what's happening, okay? So the Lord uses people like myself, like he has to show you, because we can't see it in the carnal. He has to show you. And I can see it. I can totally see like this vast army of evil spirits. And I can't really even describe how they looked like, but they were wicked. They were dark, fallen, angelic creatures. But I can certainly tell you this. I was amazed at looking at them because they were very low, going over the face of the whole earth. They were dressed in some kind of an armor that's a little bit indescribable. They were very, very connected in terms of, like, you know, like how it says that the men of Israel, that they didn't break rank, you know, they were very conditioned that they were, this was their thing. And at the same time, a darkness was where they were going. Darkness was with them, and they were covering the surface of the earth with this darkness. Okay. Well, that's a spiritual darkness. So as this dream went on, you know, I mean, I began to see other things that were taking place, you know, like, for instance, in that dream, I could see an intersection that I live near, and I was like suspended over that intersection. It's a busy intersection, and I can see cars just going through it north like they normally do. And all of a sudden, I saw these two black, huge vehicles, like vans, just slamming their brakes on, stopping in the middle of that intersection. Back of the doors were flying open. Men in black jumpsuits and fatigues were getting out. They were hauling everybody out of their cars. People were screaming. And they were taking everybody away. Let me just pause right there, because this is what we know. And I want to inject this to you, Tony.
Yeah.
The Lord, as I understand him, he wants a high caliber of people.
Yeah.
Okay. We could all have a religious experience. You know, when you look at in the Old Testament, it talks about people who were beat, like the different tribes that were becoming part of David's military. And it talked about the tribe of Issachar. That's something very interesting, because it said that the tribe of Issachar had knowledge of the understanding of the times that they lived in, that Israel may know what they should do, and all the people were attentive unto them. So in this, these things that the Lord is showing, like you were saying, let me just say this, that they are meant to come out. There does come a point. There are some things that shouldn't come out, but there are some things, and I believe right now that the Lord is calling me into now releasing what he's saying, because I believe that if I'm just one person, and I'm going to tell one person here and one person there, I believe he wants to say a lot to a bigger audience. I'm nothing. I know I'm a vessel, okay? But I know what I've heard, and I know when the Lord wants me to say something, and so that's why I believe I'm telling you what I know. And I say that with humbleness. Like when I say, oh, what I know, I say that with absolute utmost humbleness before the Lord. I fear the Lord, and I just need to say that, because I don't want anybody that's hearing me to think I'm anything.
I think we all, have that we don't, we know God wants us getting this information out there, but it's not like we're trying to push ourselves forward. It's almost at times reluctantly going, oh, okay, God, use me. I don't feel like I'm anything great, but you've given me this stuff, so use me. And I get that sort of, sense with you, that there is a humility, and it's not a glory seeking for yourself thing, which is great. So carry on.
Okay, now back to what I was saying. The majority of the mainstream Christian church, God bless them. This is no judgment over them, but this is an observation. They enjoy the church, going to church and all that. But, we are really living in a specific time. The church age is about to end. We're living on the precipice of the return of Jesus Christ. And I really feel a direction in this interview that I have with you, because I do believe there are some things Jesus wants to say. I've prayed quite a bit about this, and let me tell you, it was pretty instant. Like, I didn't have to pray 3 weeks for it,
Yeah.
Because the Lord, like when you're in prayer all the time, when you're dwelling in him, it's more instant. You just know what he wants to say. And I can feel his spirit right now. I know what he wants to say. But in this dream, this is what he was saying. This is what he wants everybody to know, that he has been warning through these things. He wants us to know that there is a spiritual dimension, okay, that is hugely responsible, that started from the expulsion of the two from the Garden of Eden, and it is culminating right now, okay? When we understand the times and seasons that we're living in, a lot of people like to say, well, we don't know the day or the hour. I say amen to that. But you know what? Jesus Christ rebuked the Pharisees because they could not discern his time. I don't want us to be a people. He doesn't want us to be a people that are going to be rebuked. He doesn't want us to miss out on anything.
Yeah.
That's where these visions come in, Tony.
Mm.
So what he was showing me is through this dream and also too, this was a word of knowledge, because when I woke up from that dream, this was things I was hearing actively that he was saying to me. And so what he's saying is, because of this darkness that's coming out, let me tell you, the enemy's pouring it on thick right now.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, think of that scripture right now, Tony. In Revelation, it says, and the nations were angry. I want to ask you a question right now. When have you ever seen the nations more angry than you've seen them now?
Well, in my lifetime, I've never seen things the way they are. It's unprecedented, and it's growing all the time. I'm so aware of it. It's nothing like this time has been in my life.
Right. So this darkness that's covering over is a power. Okay. These are powers that are controlling this Islamic, you know, they're driven by Islamic theology that's genocidal.
Yeah.
We know, you know, I mean, look at what's happening. You know, there is, I mean, really, we're looking at the birth pangs. So what the Lord is showing me is there is going to be an economic collapse. Why else would he say in Zephaniah 1:18, your silver and your gold will not be able to save you in the day of the Lord's wrath? Why would he say in Haggai 2:6, the silver and the gold are mine? And finally, why would he say in Revelation during the reign of the Antichrist and his administration that whoever does not have his mark or his name or the number of his name can neither buy or sell?
Yeah, because, yeah, that's interesting. And I mean, going back to the book of Daniel, chapter 11, it talks about the king of the north having control of the silver and gold. Quite clearly to me, it shows me that silver and gold will play a role in the end time kingdom. I'm expecting our fiat monetary system to fail completely, actually. But carry on.
Well, I mean, the silver and gold, you're right. I mean, Russia and China have the most stockpiles of gold. Why do they have stockpiles of gold? Because all the currencies are going to collapse.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, China, I know this is an offshoot, but, you know, they just, they have special drawing rights now for the first time.
Yeah.
I just saw on the news today that China, Russia, and Iran have all agreed to drop the dollar. Well, we know that was happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, so back to what I'm saying, because I believe these things have to interplay, because, you know, a lot of people want to know, well, when is this going to happen? And what did the Lord say? But I believe you have to have a full, robust, intelligent delivery of a prophecy.
Yeah.
You know, because I can sit here and say, the Lord said this and the Lord said that, but I really believe the Lord wants people to be educated about the season that they're living in, the times that they're living in, because he wants you to be completely and totally aware to prepare. And, you know, people can prepare. You can fill up your pantries. That's good. I'd say you should.
Yeah.
But you know, I'll tell you something. When we're spiritually prepared, that's a power. And that's what we're dealing with, is powers in this last closing seconds of this church age.
Yeah.
The day of grace is going to end. So what is going to happen is there's going to be a currency reset.
Yeah.
Okay. They're going to have a bank holiday.
Yeah.
If you have $1,000 in the bank, you're probably going to have nothing else in there, but maybe $50.
Yeah.
This is going to cause widespread pandemonium.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but when Obama first came into office, he did this under the radar. Are you aware of the Council of Governors?
No, I have not heard of that one.
The Council of Governors was a bill he signed under the radar while everybody was going on in their American life, where he had a general, I don't know his name. I mean, anybody can look it up. But the United States at that point was divided up into 10 FEMA regions.
Yeah.
And 10 generals are now, they're appointed right now to take over those regions in the event of civil unrest.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was kind of interesting. You know, I mean, we had this Jade Helm. If nobody's interested with Jade Helm, what it is it, you know, a really martial law exercise.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to share this. You're welcome to cut it out if you want. But I work at a certain place. It's a high profile place. I will say this. It's a private club. There's many politicians that come in there from the White House. A high ranking member of the administration came in. I won't mention his name. I'll mention it to you offline. I'll tell you who it was.
Yeah.
And his Secret Service agent was standing at my desk, okay?
Yeah.
Normally, they always stand at my desk. They're Secret Service agents all the time. Normally, they just talk, surface talk. Well, one day, this guy started talking to me, which was really unusual, and he seemed very open. And I'm going to share with you what he told me.
Yep, that sounds good.
Very shocking, actually, you know. He said, So who do you think is going to be president?
When was this? How long ago?
A month ago.
Oh, right. Okay.
He said, so who do you think is going to be president? And I felt kind of nervous, but I thought, I don't care. I'm not going to fear. And I said, well, you know, the way things are looking right now, I'm probably thinking it's going to be Trump. And he said, let me tell you something right now. He said, Trump has already been chosen to be president. He was chosen 2 years ago. And I go, really? And I felt like that was some crazy open door because I'm thinking, what is this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is he like, excuse me. So I thought, okay, I'm going to start asking some questions. He can shut me down anytime he wants. So I thought, here I go. So I said, he goes, and let me tell you why they're going to bring Trump in. You know his immigration policy? You know how he said that when he comes in, he is going to have a mass deportation? I said, yes. He said, they're going to have him in the office because when they want him to do a mass deportation. Because as soon as he does a mass deportation, there's going to be coast-to-coast civil unrest where they can call in martial law. Now, this guy went on to tell me that he works with Obama constantly, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking, Lord, this is a view or this is, I don't know. Then he went on to tell me, I said, okay, let me ask you a question. What about this Jade Helm thing? I mean, he goes, well, what do you think it is? I go, I don't know. I go, the only thing that we lowly Americans know is there's some kind of martial law thing that's going to happen. He goes, you're right. There is going to be martial law. I go, really? He goes, absolutely. I go, when? He goes, next year. Well, this year, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, really? He goes, that's right. And I go, really? He goes, look, we all know. Let me just put this to you. He said my name. Let me just tell you something, Joan. He said, Trump is going to be elected. It was already decided 2 years ago. He said, and there will be martial law. I go, okay, let me ask you something right now. What about the economic collapse? He goes, there's not going to be an economic collapse. There's going to be an economic catastrophe. And let me tell you something. Nobody has any idea what is coming. Nobody knows. He goes, me personally, he goes, I'm going to finish up what I'm doing with Obama's administration, and I'm going to get out of here, and I'm going to go to Belgium. And it was interesting because he had an English accent. And I thought, you know, I thought you had to be American to be, you know, have PPD, you know, presidential protection duty. So that was interesting to me.
Wow.
So he told me, he goes, yep, it's coming. And, you know, he was talking, he got into some other things. I don't know if I should bring it up, maybe off the line. I'll tell you else what he said to me. But he was pretty, he was sharp. And I was thinking, I don't know why he's saying this to me. But back into this, there was a reason God wanted me to hear this. Okay.
Before we go to that, I'm just interested. There's so many people out there having dreams and prophetic things saying Obama won't leave office, that there won't be a 2016 election. And I've heard other people saying, oh, they've had prophecies that Trump will be the next president or Hillary Clinton or whatever. And it's like, oh man, they can't all be right. So it's a little bit confusing. I'm kind of waiting to see. But, yeah, anyway, sorry to interrupt there.
No, I totally get it. You know, I hear all the same stuff, too, where people are like, no, I heard the Lord told me this. No, you know, whatever is going to happen is going to happen. But, you know, I'll tell you one thing I'm getting a powerful witness of. I believe, not just because my mind is telling me, but I have a pretty powerful witness from the Holy Spirit that Obama is going to retain the seat of Secretary UN General.
Yeah, that's a very distinct possibility. He'd say he'd be king of the world, not just king of the USA.
Well, I do believe that. And, you know, I'll share a vision that the Lord gave me, I guess, toward the end of the show.
We will definitely come back to that. I've got that on my list of things to do. While I'm on the train of thought before I lose it, with the economic catastrophe, this is what A Minute to Midnight we've been saying right from the word go, but both Chris and I believe that the fiat money system will collapse and the paper gold and silver is what's going to be people are throwing in the streets, not the physical stuff. I personally believe that physical gold and silver, because that was the money that God created right from the word go, that it's going to sustain till the end. I mean, at the end of the day, it won't matter what you have. It won't save us from God's wrath or the day of the Lord. Nothing will save people. It doesn't matter. Houses, homes, money, you know, only knowledge of Jesus Christ will be the only thing that saves us. But I see a distinction between physical and paper when it comes to the gold and silver things.
I do too. Yeah, I don't see, because who really, think about it. Everybody's going to start throwing out pieces of gold. People don't have gold, and we do have a fiat currency system backed by nothing.
People have paper certificates for gold and silver.
Look, what's happening, everything is going to be worth nothing. And let me tell you something. If you do even a brief account, if you do just a brief account, I don't even mean biblical history. If you even do a secular history, you know, account, what is the one thing, Tony, that will drive people? Hunger.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so look, we already know that the Baltic Dry Index slammed.
Yeah, lowest. Okay? Yeah, lowest it's been, yeah.
In 12 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I was also reading about, you know, look at the oil, okay? Now the shale drillers, they're saying they're going bankrupt, okay? Now we're going to have the Saudis, the OPEC nation now, the OPEC oil, they're going to start dealing with a hard hand because of the fact that we have an over surplus of oil, so now they're going to cut it off. We see this as, look, it is an absolute implosion. I mean, we don't even have to explain it away. I think even the casual person that would be listening for 2 minutes already knows this.
Yeah. But
so there is absolutely going to be a problem with getting food, because we also know there's going to be a problem with transportation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look at the droughts. We're looking at unprecedented natural destruction. You know, I think of this word, you know, it says in Psalm 102:26, it says, it talks about that the heavens and the earth shall wax old like a garment and they shall be replaced. Look at this earth, it's wearing out.
Yeah.
I mean, look at everything. So we're seeing a culmination. I mean, we can touch on this, we can touch on that, but it's all part of one thing. And so this nation, I know what I heard from the Lord. And look, when I received these words, I didn't just receive it. I wrote it down and I threw it in a drawer and I walked away from it because I just had to let it be, you know?
Yeah.
But I strongly believe with all of my heart, as the sun is shining right now, that the Lord is saying, look, I've been warning people all these years. And most recently, he's been pouring it on thick.
Yeah.
Okay. This year, he told me very clearly, I'm not going to be warning people anymore. This year, I'm going to be telling people what to do.
Yep.
I'm going to be giving individual instructions. And something else I want to say to you, Tony, I hope you don't think I don't want to be on a rant here, but
no, it's just...
yeah, but this is what the Lord was showing me. He was showing me, number one, he said, people need to learn right now to become independent. Okay. Now that scares Christians because they're like, oh, well, we believe in going to church. Church is going to turn out to be the most dangerous place you can go. You know, do you remember in the Bible when Jesus was sitting out there with his at the temple and his disciples said, Master, look at what great stones these are and this magnificent building. And he said, well, you know, these stones are going to be thrown down. Not one of them is going to be left on another. The Lord is saying that for our benefit today. We are a body of Christ. Okay, a building does not define us, but what he distinctly wants, and I know I have his heart on this, he wants everybody that is listening to this. He wants you to know right now, he wants to speak to you directly. He wants to speak to you personally. He wants to speak to you individually. He's going to speak to sometimes a people group. He's going to open a window. He told me this directly. I'm going to open up a window of time in 2016. And it is going to be a time where I'm going to speak distinctly to certain people, not everybody. There are certain people I'm going to move around the United States. I'm going to put them in safe places. I'm going to choose the place I want them to be, and my hand of protection will be upon them. He also wants you to know that he wants you to begin to stand in prayer personally, to take what he is doing very seriously. This is, once this window shuts, the Lord showed me that the borders of the United States are going to close, that no one will be able to leave or come in the United States by the end of the year. So any moving of this open window is going to afford, as you obey, that the Lord's calling you to move somewhere out of the nation, you're going to go by his hand. He's going to put you where he wants you to be. But once that window closes, he has shown me that's it. You are going to have to be where you're at. He's going to have to talk to us individually, because there's things he doesn't want the enemy to know. There's things he has to say secretly to us to instruct us, very much the same way he did with Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, Mary's husband. There was things he needs to show you in the spirit that you can't see in the carnal. He wants you to know that the other world, where you are raised and seated with in Christ Jesus, must become more real than the world you're living in right now. The power that Tony was talking about that will increase is this. As these powers begin to pour out their power on the nations, the Lord says, don't fear, because it will serve to increase the power of God in the ways he's going to work in every individual life. And I stress individual, because the Lord is, he has to work individually with each of you. He's not going to want you to depend. He's going to start wanting you to be very careful who you put your trust in and things that you say. I'm not talking about being paranoid, but when you get a check, and I know that there's Christians out there that are listening, you know what I mean. When you get a check in the spirit, you know what I mean. You start to say something and all of a sudden you feel something. Don't say it. That's how it's going to be. And see, the enemy, he knows his time is coming short. When that 7-year period begins, whenever it begins, it's on.
At about that point, our Skype contact got disconnected and we had to redial and continue the conversation again. Where we picked up from will be in part 2 of this interview series. If you haven't already done so, I suggest that you subscribe to our A Minute to Midnight YouTube channel. That way you won't miss any of our upcoming interviews. Also, check out Z3 News, or we say Z3 News here in New Zealand, to see what Joni Stahl, James Bailey and others are regularly posting on there. Also, please like and or comment on this video or email us your feedback.